2. HMS Dancer, 56, off Claw Island, Sea of Harchung. Sir Gwilym Manthier watched the schooner Messenger's topsails as she cleared the mouth of Snake Channel and altered course. He couldn't see her hull from here, but he could track the white flaw of her sails against the looming brown mountains of Claw Island, and he frowned as he contemplated them. His greatest concern over Hardship Bay's suitability as an anchorage was what an easterly wind would do to it. Even a schooner would have a terrible time trying to claw her way out against an east wind. Snake Channel, the bay's southern entrance, would be usable with the wind out of the northeast by east, and North Channel would be usable with the wind out of the southeast by east, but a galleon would have trouble making it out of either channel even under those conditions. At the moment, however, the wind, such as there was and what there was of it, was out of the south-southwest, and Messenger settled down on the starboard tack, with the wind almost broad on the beam, and headed for his flagship. All the rest of his command, 53 ships, lay hove to in Shell Sound, the broad body of water between Green Island and Hardship Shoal. It was oppressively hot, even by Carizian standards. He'd left his tunic in his cabin, yet sweat glued his shirt to his skin, and when he held his hand an inch or so above one of the black-painted quarterdeck carronades, the heat radiated back up against his palm as if from the top of a stove. The awnings rigged above the deck to give the crew some little shade helped, but in Manthier's opinion, it was basically the difference between being slowly baked in an oven or broiled over an open flame. He'd expected heat, but he hadn't been prepared for heat this hot, and the fact that the wind had dropped to no more than a gentle breeze didn't help. Nor was it going to speed Messenger to Dancer anytime soon. In this wind, even the fleet little schooner was doing well to make 2 or 3 knots with all sail set, and she had the better part of 15 miles to cover to reach the flagship. Manthier looked up at the sun and pursed his lips. Call it 5 hours, more likely 6, and it was already past 11. He grimaced and stepped back into the quarterdeck awning shade. It wasn't a particularly dense shade, but after the unfiltered, eye-searing sunlight beyond it, it felt like stepping into a cave. A very hot cave.
Donald, he said,
turning his head and blinking as he looked for his flag lieutenant, before his eyes had really adjusted to the relative dimness.
Yes, sir?
Lieutenant Donald Rosman responded from somewhere behind him, and he turned towards the voice.
Ah, there you are.
The Admiral shook his head, smiling in wry sympathy.
I was afraid you'd finally been rendered down.
Not quite yet, sir. Rosman returned his Admiral's smile, although, truth be told, Manthier's jest cut entirely too close to reality, in the lieutenant's opinion. Rosman was a Chisomian, one of the growing number of Chisomians being integrated into the Imperial Navy, with exotic, by Carizian standards, auburn hair and gray eyes, and a fair complexion that was perfectly happy to burn angry red, blister or even peel painfully, but flatly refused to tan.
Well, there's time yet, I suppose, Manthier chuckled.
It wasn't that he didn't sympathize. It was simply that there wasn't anything either of them could do about it except laugh.
No, sir, Rosman agreed. In the meantime, though, was there something you needed me to do? As a matter of fact, yes.
Manthier waved in Messenger's direction.
I imagine it's going to take 5 or 6 hours for her to reach us. Under the circumstances, I thought we might move supper forward and invite Commander Grazale to join us this evening. It seems the least we can do after sending him all the way in to talk to these people.
Of course, sir. Do you wish Captain McGale to join you?
The Captain, Master Seasmoke, and Lieutenant Kruger. No, Kruger will have the watch, won't he?
Manthier thought for a moment, then shrugged.
Make it Lieutenant Waldeer and young Sversman, and you, of course.
So 6 guests, including me, Rosman said, mentally counting up the names.
I'll go and tell Niklos, sir.
The flag lieutenant smiled again, faintly.
He's still going to complain that we didn't give him enough notice, you realize?
Of course he is. It's what he does.
Manthir's answering smile held just a bit of resignation. Ryan Hallman, his servant of many years, had been killed at Darko Sound, and Manthir missed him badly. Not just because they'd been together for so long, although that was definitely part of it, but also because Hallman had suited him so well. Manthir's birth had been as common as even a future Carizian seaman's came, and Hallman had been a Howl Bay fisherman before he joined the Navy. Personally, Manthir suspected Ryan Hallman hadn't always been the man's name. There'd been any number of men like that in the Royal Carizian Navy, and that hadn't changed now that it was the Imperial Carizian Navy. As long as a man did his duty and didn't get into fresh trouble, the Navy was willing to overlook any indiscretions in his previous life. In Hallman's case, Manthir had observed that he never voluntarily went ashore in Telisburg.